So look, if you want to grow your wealth, your income, and increase the amount of time off, then these are the shortcuts that can help. Welcome to the Wealth Creation Podcast.
Welcome, hope you're well. My name's Dan Latto. So welcome to Property Cashflow Show. Today is a Wednesday, so it's Property Cashflow. We are live on the first live event of the year. So if you're joining me, then welcome to listen to a podcast. And I don't know when you're listening to this, but welcome anyway. But I hope you're well. Hope you had a nice time off. And I hope you're ready to go with property once more. Today's session, we're going to talk about rent to rent, like you do. So let's talk about rent to rent. Let's talk about why I don't really like rent to rent. So I don't like rent to rent because a couple of reasons. Number one, the types of people that you get doing it, they may have been on a training course for one weekend, and then, like, I, as a provider of property, I get an email. I upload my stuff to Open Rent. So I get an email through, and I get from an email, they're like, oh, I can rent your property out and guaranteed rent and 7-year contracts. And oh, that's fine. We've done it ourselves. But then it's like, well, what about the lease? Well, what about the lease? Well, I don't think the lease allows it. Oh, don't worry about that. We'll sort that out. What do you mean you sort it out? It's a lease forbidding short-term contract lets. But how are you going to sort that out exactly? And that's the bit that I don't like about this business. That's a big bit I don't like about this business. The second bit that I don't like about this business is that it's short-termism. It's fine if you're using it as a stepping stone, but that's literally all it is. It is a stepping stone onto bigger things. And so what I mean by that is the rules are going to change on short-term lets anyway. We've already seen it happen in London where you can only rent for 90 days. And a lot of people who do rent to rent, they then go to serviced accommodation. That's not the only way of doing it, of course. You can, you know, rent a 4-bed house and you can convert to HMO. But then my worry is, what if it's not in a, what if it's in an Article 4 area and you're not allowed HMOs? Oh, well, don't worry about that. We'll sort all that out. What do you mean you're going to sort that out? And then the poor landlord gets a letter saying you've breached Article 4, you've got a HMO. The landlord's going, no, I haven't. I rented it to Bob Smith, and Bob Smith said he's not going to do that. And Bob Smith, behind your back, has gone and done that, and now you're going to get screwed by the council. So I have issues with stuff like this. And especially in, you know, this day and age, in my Spanish yesterday, we had to do a thing where you had to fill in a form, and it's got your name and your date of birth and your email address. And I'm like, I ain't filling this in. So I filled it in with incorrect information because the person sat next to me could read it. I've got issues around data protection and all of that kind of thing. And I've got issues with people taking on my properties and then subletting them out, not knowing who's going into the properties, people who aren't maybe referenced or to the standard of our referencing. And it just worries me. The whole thing kind of worries me. Now, there's a couple of caveats on this. If you're looking for a place to get started, then rent to rent certainly has that potential, that's for sure, because you don't need a huge amount of money. If you're taking on somebody else's pad, however, and it needs work doing to it, you should really go and get the work done to it. I mean, you can get the rents up and it can work. But as long as you realize this is short-termism, the thing is that you're still not going to own this. You're just going to control this. And I get Robert Kiyosaki said it's not about owning, it's about controlling. I get that. However, it's too short-termism for me. 5 to 7 years is a little bit longer, and that's not too bad. But you still only have short-term control. And then what happens if a landlord goes, well, do you know what? Actually, we're just going to get rid of it completely and we're going to take it back. What are you going to do in those circumstances? How strong are your contracts? What's the break clause to break the lease? And this, all this stuff kind of worries me. It kind of bothers me. And these people who start off with this, they go on a weekend course, they've done it for 2 days, and then they're trying to get people's £500,000 flats and trying to take control over them. And they really have no idea about tenancy law, about HMOs. They don't know what an Article 4 is. They just have no idea about health and safety, about fire raids, fire alarms, smoke alarms, CO2 detectors. And yet you're moving your asset over to this person to manage with zero experience, who've been on a weekend course from a trainer who says, no, it's fine, off you go, you don't need anything. It just worries me. The whole lot worries me. So that's why I'm not keen on rent to rent. Let's talk about the positives, however, on rent to rent. It is short term, so it's a good way to get your toe in the market. Not a huge amount of money up front is needed, but if you've got some, that helps. And we would say to tenants to people, for example, landlords, we would say, look, instead of us paying a deposit, how about we go and put new paint in, we carpet the place, and that shows good willing that we're prepared to invest in their property. We know we're not going to get that money back like a bond, but we also know that in doing so, we're going to attract better tenants because the place looks nice and we're going to get higher rents and that kind of thing. But that's a good way of doing it. We also know that it is short term. So if you're going to get 7 years, and let's say it's a HMO or just a normal house, let's just say you're making 250 quid a month. Let's say you can go out and get four of those. Now you're making £1,000 a month. Don't go blow it on a Ferrari or a Lambo. You're making money off an asset for a short period of time. You need to take that money and invest that money into something. So, for example, if you saved £1,000 a month for the next 12 months, you'd have 12 grand. If you did that for the next 12 months after that, you'd have 24 grand. That's a deposit on your first actual house. So that's why I would do it. And if you know, using those numbers, if you think about it, if you can get 8 rent-to-rent units for the next 12 months, you can buy one house every single year. And I quite like that. I like the idea of doing that. But the idea here is to use the cash flow from rent to rent and put that into something like a buy-to-let that's yours that you actually own. Let's just put this caveat in there. Nobody actually owns your property. I don't own any of my properties. And by that, I mean, if I stop paying council tax, we'll see how long I own that property for. The government owns it. The government owns the land. It owns everything. If you don't believe me, stop paying your taxes. See how long you have your property for. It's not yours. You're just looking after it for a while. Even though you might be mortgage free, you still don't own it because of the council tax situation. So you just need to understand that and be aware of that. But rent to rent is there for a specific purpose. And the specific purpose that it's there for is a springboard for you to move on to the next level of whatever it is that you happen to do. Now, unfortunately, people don't use it in this manner. People, they get £1,000 a month, £2,000 a month, and they're buying Ferraris and Lambos and Porsches. And they're not using that money to invest in the next level. And then, you know, it hits the fan, all the house of cards comes tumbling down, and they've wasted that opportunity for 7 to 10 years to actually get into some assets. So this is about property. This is about buying property. This is about you managing that property for the next 25, 30 years. It's about you putting that property into a trust for your kids, grandkids, great-grandkids. So the money is always going to cash flow, not a short-term, three-year, rent-to-rent type property. Like, I'm not saying don't do those, but understand that it's only a three-year period. You've got to be using that money for something to improve your life. It could be paying down debt. You know, if you've got four houses and you're making £1,000 a month off those four houses, you've got 12 grand in credit card debt. If all you do is pay down your credit card debt and thus saving cash flow, £400, £300, whatever that debt is costing you each month, then that's a really positive thing. Even if after 3 years you lose those properties, I don't have an issue with that. I think that's a really good thing to do. Once you've paid down your debt, then you've got to start moving your money into things that are going to start paying you. So right now I'm just building up a list of shares, for example, that pay dividends, that pay quarterly. And if you spread them throughout the year, you get paid every single month from dividend shares. So, for example, that's a really cool thing to do. It's only 4, 5, 6% yield. So it's not brilliant compared with buying a buy-to-let. You know, £15,000 down will make you 250 quid a month. Once you've done all the maths and so on. And that's a very positive thing to do. But if you don't want to be hands-on with property and you want to go down the share market, then that's fine too. But the point here is that rent-to-rent is a short-term business, a short-term transactional business. You can make a lot of money doing short-term transactional businesses if you're doing the serviced accommodation route. Okay, but you've got to check that you're not breaching leases. Otherwise, you're going to be opening yourself up for potentially some kind of legal situation. We want you to avoid that. So let me just check here. What happened there? Oh, no, that's fine. So that's fine. You've got to be looking at how are you going to use rent to rent and how does that fit into your overall strategy, not just today and solving short-term problems, but in the next 5 years, the next 10 years, the next 20 years. And with that in mind, building up a relationship with a landlord that you've got, let's say a 3 or 4 year rent-to-rent agreement with, what can you do with that landlord to help build trust? So after year 2 and 3, can you get an extension for another 5 to 10 years? and you've got to bring them in, you've got to show them the work that you've done to the house, and you need to do some work to the house. You can't just take on a rent to rent and think you're going to magically get more money than the landlord was originally going to get. But this is also down to what's in it for the landlord. Why is the landlord okay for a rent to rent? He could be just, or she could just be fed up of doing voids. They could be fed up of having to redecorate because people trash it. It could have no money to do the property up. And so if you can come to them saying, well, we can give you guaranteed rent and we're going to manage repairs other than big stuff like boilers. But even like with boilers, if you can do stuff like that, if you've got a 7 or a 10 year lease, I would do that. The way that we do our boilers is we pay £300-400 up front, and then we pay £200-300 a month on our boilers. And we've gone through the entire portfolio doing that. Costs us slightly more, but enables us to spread the cost instead of, you know, one big boiler cost every single month. So that allows us to do that. But you've got to start investing in these rent to rents. And I know people are going, yeah, but I don't own them. Why would I do that? It's because you're going to earn more money over the long term, and not just over the next 3 or 4 years that you've got the rent to rent, but over the next 10, 15 years, potentially, when the landlord sees the work that you've done to it and the furniture that you've put in, the type of tenants that you've got, they're going to want to see that that's continuing. They might also, by the way, go, well, hang on, you've done it up for me. I'm going to get rid of you. I don't need you anymore. Thanks very much. See you later. So you run that risk, but it's not your property. This is the whole point of why I don't like rent to rent, is it's not your property. If you're doing a city centre flat and it's okay on the lease to do short-term lets, and some of them are, obviously, you need to find this information out. You've got to be checking that this is accurate and that you can do that. But if you can do that and you can make a short-term amount of money on short-term lets and serviced accommodation, then you should go and do that. But make sure that you're using this money for something that's going to be really beneficial to your future, paying down the debt or buying assets later on. By the way, on short-term lets, on Google, we used to own the first page of Google for short-term lets and serviced accommodation in Leeds. We had 4 or 5 different websites. We had different videos. We had images. And we owned the first page of Google for short-term lets in Leeds and Manchester to some extent as well. We certainly had top 1 and 2 on Manchester and Southampton as well, actually, for our sense, because we had an office down there, and Sheffield too. So if you are doing short-term lets, don't just rely on things like Airbnb, Booking.com. You should also go and do some search engine optimization. Get your website on the first page of Google. That would work well. Go put short-term lets location as the headline on Gumtree adverts, for example. Gumtree tends to rank very well on websites, and that can get you some first page listings too, or at the very least knock other people down the listing so that you have a greater chance of showing up. So all that stuff is relevant, but my take on short-term lets, on rent-to-rents, and we've done these, is that the money that you're making from these, don't go blow it on a new car or a holiday. Use this money that you wouldn't have otherwise had to improve your financial situation, which basically means paying down debt or buying assets that's you're gonna benefit from for the rest of your life. I mean, imagine this. Imagine buying £1,000 of AT&T stock that pays a 6% dividend. That's going to pay you £60 a year for the rest of your life. Now think about that. Imagine now that your mobile phone contract, that pays for 1 month of that. If you get 12 grand of stock, you'll never pay for a mobile phone for the rest of your life. I quite like that as an idea. And then buy stocks in energy and whatever the dividend is on those and get a 6% yield. And what, you know, if you're paying £100 a month, so that's £1,200. You need, what, £24,000 worth of stocks. You'll never pay Npower ever again because they're paying themselves effectively. I love that as an idea. But the whole point of rent-to-rent should be to improve your longer-term prospects financially, either through paying down debt or generating an income. I hope that's useful for you. Nice short one today because first one back. We'll catch up with you on Friday because we're live on Friday. Just making sure I'm still in the country then. And I am. We're live on Friday for the, other show whose name escapes me, the Mindset and Hustle show. Why can't I remember this stuff? I've been off for too long. Anyway, hope that's useful. We'll catch up with you in the next podcast. My name's Dan Latta. Take care.
Hey, it's Dan here. Thank you for listening. Really appreciate each and every one of you. Please click like or subscribe to the entire podcast.